Welcome to Zaslow Show 2.0, presented from day one by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You're dealing with any kind of accident, any personal injury, slip and fall, motorcycle, car accident, bike. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Title sponsors from day number one. No, before day number one of Zaslow Show 2.0, my guys Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, Ellie Anajar, they believe in me. If you're listening to the show right now and you're dealing with any kind of personal injury, I'm sending you to my friends, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You don't have to deal with the insurance companies. You don't have to deal with the medical bills. You need to focus on getting right. That's where they come in. They handle all the stuff that you don't want to be bothered with. You need to make sure you're getting healthy, and they're going to make sure you're getting the money that you deserve. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Proud title sponsors of Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome aboard. This is Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome, Zaslow Show 2.0. It is a Tuesday, the 4th of June. Good to have you all aboard. Part of the Believe Podcast Network. And presented, as always, by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. Title sponsor, everything Zaslow Show 2.0. If you're involved in any kind of an accident, you're dealing with a personal injury, I send you to where you're going to get the compensation you deserve. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. We are just a couple of days away from the NBA Finals getting going. We're just two more days on top of that from the main event, which is the Stanley Cup Finals, game number one. Got a fun show planned for everybody today. Red Deer Randy Moeller is going to join us. Panther, great color analyst. He'll be on the program. We'll talk about this Panther run, how it compares to last year, how excited he is. We'll get into all of it. I'm very excited to talk to Randy. He's the best. Also, it's important you know, with the Stanley Cup Finals beginning this weekend, and of course the NBA Finals in a couple days, don't forget, Bet Online. That's your number one source for all of your basketball and hockey action. Every stat, every matchup, live odds and spreads while the game's being played, and then when the game's over, you head on over to the Bet Online online casino, play some blackjack, play some poker, over 150 slot games. Head to the BetOnline website today. Get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So, I've told this story many times before. One of my favorite things. I love having Randy on the show, and I feel really good. Look, I feel good for myself as a huge Panther fan. But I feel really great for the Panther fans like myself who have stuck it through it with this team. And I feel really great, you know, for guys like my pal Billy Lindsay, who we'll have on the show later on this week, and my pal Randy Moeller. You know, I was on the Florida Panther broadcast. A lot of people don't know this or don't remember. Sometimes I forget. I'm like, oh, yeah, I used to be on the Panther broadcast. I was what I used to do for the Heat. I used to do for the Panthers. I was the studio host in 2009 and 2010, two seasons. So I worked side by side with Randy Moeller and with Billy Lindsay's. Because back then, Moeller, if you're a young Panther fan, you don't know, Moeller was the radio play-by-play. You know, as a former, he's one of the very few former players ever in the National Hockey League who then became a play-by-play guy. That's extremely rare. And you know what? You only see Moeller now in between the glass, and he's doing the color. Moeller was a good play-by-play guy, especially when you consider no experience. And he was a former player. Moeller was a good play-by-play guy. So I used to host the pregame, the studio intermissions, and the postgame show. And I was at every home game right there in the box, right next to Mueller. Really a lot of fun. Team stunk. Team was the drizzling shits, but really fun. And part of my, a major part of my fondness for Randy Mueller is, I mean it when I tell you, I don't know if I know anyone who cares more about the team they work for and is more passionate and more dedicated for it than Randy Mueller is with the Florida Panthers. He's a great dude, but also he loves the organization. He's a hard worker. I loved working side by side from him. He's the real deal. And I'm super excited for guys like him. So we'll get Randy on the program here. It's going to be a lot of fun. Today's Tuesday, which means Twitter Jam. Yep, Twitter Jam will be on Caitlin Clark. Yesterday was kind of a bananas day when it comes to Caitlin Clark. And by the way, good thing and bad. Overall, it's a good thing what's going on with Caitlin Clark. Even the negative discourse. Because we're talking about the WNBA. Overall, grand scheme, big picture, it's a good thing. But for the incident to happen where it was on Saturday, you know, her getting fouled by Chenity Carter, and all this time off with nothing else going on, the NBA doesn't start, the finals don't start until Thursday, we got nothing else to talk about. So that timing right there is terrible because, oh my God, some of the discourse over Caitlin Clark and what happened on the weekend. Yesterday was a nutty day. There was some weird stuff that was said. I saw some weird stuff. I heard some weird stuff. Really strange. A lot of the commentary surrounding Caitlin Clark and what took place over the weekend. And look, make no mistake about it. This Kennedy Carter, she's a goon, you know? Like, I know she had comments yesterday, I think, where, you know, my career is not just one play. There's a lot more to me. Okay, that's true. Except you then go and you look at the rest of her career and you start reading about it. It's like, she's a total goon. She was drafted number 4 overall, and she was kicked off her team for wanting to fight her teammates. And then she got a chance with another team, and she was cut by them for conduct detrimental to the team. She then had to go play overseas, and now she's back. And, you know, like, your career is more than one play for sure. But then we go back and look at the rest of your career, like, yeah, that's who you are. You're a goon. So, anyway, Twitter Jam will be on Caitlin Clark, and we'll do a bunch of that. All right. First, though, I want to play you this clip here. So this is from WFAN yesterday. Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber, you know, they host afternoons on WFAN. And their producer, I think he's called Sean Morash. He used to produce for my guy Damon Amendolara at CBS Sports. And so I guess he's a huge Rangers fan. And so they're talking to him. Tiki and Evan Roberts are talking to him yesterday. And he was obviously very upset when the Rangers lost on Saturday night to the greatest hockey team in the land, the Florida Panthers. So give this a listen here, what his reaction was like. This, again, this is the producer for Tiki and Evan. What his reaction was, huge Ranger fan, grown man, looks like he's probably, well, like 40, like probably around my age. Here was his reaction.
I feel like this 2023-2024 Ranger team is the greatest missed opportunity to championship that this city has seen in 20 years.
On Saturday night, after it was all over, did a little bit of liquid come out of your eyes?
Bawled my eyes out. My oldest daughter, Taylor, came up to me up late, stayed up for the
serious?
Whole game, hugged me, and said, Daddy, it's going to be okay. They play again next year as a four-year-old.
You fully, well, hold on. Lost it. Beautiful story by her, by the way.
Lost it.
Okay, so he was heartbroken, which I understand. Look, I'm super emotional, you know, when it comes to these games. I've told you, I goosebumps just talking about it. All right, I was very emotional when the Panthers won again the other night when they won the Eastern Conference Championship. But that he's a grown-up. And he said he was bawling, hysterical crying. When's the last time you cried? If you're a grown-up, when's the last time you cried over sports? And I'm not talking about happy tears, because I think happy tears are more than appropriate, all right? Anytime you're happy about anything, all right, if it's going to bring you to tears, I think that's a good thing. I don't think it matters what it is that made you react that way, but happy tears, I think, are always a good thing, you know? And like I said, this past Saturday night, I felt myself getting emotional. I can't even imagine what it'll be like if the Panthers win the Stanley Cup. And it's a great feeling. It's great to feel that way. I think anytime you are happy enough to cry for there to be tears, that's a good thing. But crying because something bad happened, if you're an adult and crying over sports, crying over your team losing, I don't know about that. I understand being heartbroken. I understand being really sad, really upset. Maybe even your eyes water. But bawling because your team lost? I don't know about that. You know, I would be angry if my team lost. Heck, last year when the Heat lost Game 6 and it looked like I could have sworn they were going to be the first team ever to go up 3-0 and lose a series. And I was very upset after that Game 6 loss, Derek White at the buzzer. My reaction, I wasn't crying. I was catatonic. I mean, I went and sat outside in the Zaslow Mansion patio and just sat there with a drink in my hand, just stared into the abyss. I was never going to cry. The last time that I cried over sports, and I don't even know that it's I cried. I definitely almost cried, maybe even had tears in my eyes. It was back in 2005 at when the Heat lost Game 7 to the Detroit Pistons. That was Shaq's first year with the team. Team had never won an NBA championship at that point. So I almost cried. I may have had tears in my eyes. Also, I was 24 years old. Practically a kid still, you know? But that's my team losing, you know? Crying over winning, I think, is okay. My team losing, now that I'm an adult, I can't really imagine a scenario where I would cry. I don't know. Like, is it okay to, if you're an adult, is it okay to cry over your team losing in sports? I think it's more than okay to cry for winning. Matter of fact, the last time I cried for my team winning, long time. So I'm not an emotional guy. I'm not a crier, all right? Last time the team cried, I cried over my team winning. Miami Heat winning their first championship 2006. Again, I was a kid, 25 years old. But I did cry there. Cried a lot, actually. I wasn't expecting it. I became, and it wasn't like right when they won. It was like 5 minutes later, and I was kind of by myself. I became very emotional. There are family reasons why I did. It wasn't just about the Heat. I was at a specific time in my life. But yeah, so like I cried. I was happy, you know, but I was hysterical. But crying over losing, and especially bawling or hysterical, I don't know about that. Is that okay? You can always hit me up at Zaslow Show on Twitter. All right, let's get to Randy. All guests on Zaslow Show 2.0 brought to us by the official beer of the program, Johnny Cuba. European roots with that Caribbean soul. Pick up a refreshing German lager in a can. You can pick up a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. Go to johnnycuba.us. You can use the Johnny locator. They'll tell you exactly where you can find Johnny Cuba nearest to you. Make sure you always drink responsibly. And don't forget Johnny Cuba's mantra, stay tranquilo. Joining us now is our pal, the great Randy Moeller, Florida Panthers color analyst. I don't know anyone who cares more about the Florida Panthers than Randy Moeller. Randy, always love having you on. Think about this. So I was on the broadcast with you for 2 years, 2009, 2010. So many years, the team was just the pits. And can you imagine going back then, and now, granted, it's 15 years later, but back-to-back appearances in the Stanley Cup Finals? Like, do you ever just stop and say, I can't believe this is happening?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Zaz. I agree with you. It's been a long road. It's been a long road, and there's been a lot more lows and highs and that. But you really saw the light at the end of the tunnel. Once the Viola family and Doug Cifu purchased the team, there was a few couple lean years there to start with. They started and burnt it right to the ground and built it back up. And everything that they have said that they wanted to do or were going to do, they've done. And they've done it and not only built a team on the ice, but the involvement in the community and all the investments that they've made in the building, building a brand new practice facility now, part of the War Memorial Auditorium project downtown Fort Lauderdale. The commitment to Broward County and that, and then, you know, it really took off on the ice once Bill Zito was hired, and some of those first moves that he made really elevated the talent level and the chemistry and the culture of this team. And they've built on that and continue to build on it. And now, yeah, back-to-back years going to the Stanley Cup Finals. But this is, Zaz, this is a much different situation, environment, whatever you want to call it, this year than last year. Last year was a Cinderella story. Right. This year, last year they were beat up. All the injuries that came out after the finals about the Panthers, they were just limping down the stretch run. This year's a lot different. There's the expectations. The players talked about it in training camp, that anything less than getting back to the finals will be a colossal failure. Well, they're back here, and they're healthy. They have the experience. They've added to this lineup as well with some good veterans, Kyle Pozo and Tarasenko, Vladdy Tarasenko. They built this team, continue to build this team after last year when they kind of got pushed around with the physicality of the Vegas Golden Knights. They went out and got players like Nico Mikkola, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, up the middle, Stenlund and Lawrence. They got bigger. They got tougher. And, of course, that style that the Panthers play, they fit right in. So this is a different team that's going into the finals than what we saw last year.
Randy, how about just this murderer's row that the Panthers have had to go through to get to this point? You know, no one's going to claim that the Panthers had an easy road. You look at the goalies between, we're talking Andre Vasilevsky and Jeremy Swayman, who was incredible leading up to, really up to game two against the Panthers. And then Igor Shesterkin, who looks like the best goalie in the National Hockey League. This is some type of murderer's row the team had to go through.
Well, I totally agree with you. And that just forced the Panthers into even more adjustments and to prepare and to execute to play those low scoring games, because those goalies that you mentioned, they're not, for the most part, they're not going to give up 4, 5, 6 goals a game. So you've got to adapt your game to play those low scoring, low chances, grind it out. Hopefully your special teams are on the positive side, and that's how you win in the playoffs. And the Panthers can, as you know, can play any style you want. We can play in the front yard. We can play out in the back alley. It doesn't matter to them. But these have been low scoring games. And I expect that probably in the finals as well, because both teams now are at the top of their game in their penalty kill. I think the Edmonton Oilers have killed off 14 in a row power plays, and even longer than that.
I think it's double that, Randy.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So the Panthers, I don't think they can expect, they will try, but I don't think they're going to expect to score 2 power play goals a game in this series. So you round it all up, and I believe that it will be still a low scoring series. But the star power is just off the wall. You got Connor McDavid for the Edmonton Oilers, is the best player in the world, undisputed best player in the world. Everybody knows it. And what he does and what he can do on an individual base. And then they're pretty solid in their top 6, especially the top 5, and Leon Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins and Hyman can really score goals, especially on the power play. But I think there's certain elements of this series where the Panthers are going to have the advantage on paper. And that's, we got to say that on paper, because it means nothing once they hit the ice. They have to execute and perform up to their capabilities and that. But the Panthers, there's a few areas where they have the advantage, and hopefully they can use that to their advantage and that edge to become Stanley Cup champions.
We'll get right back to the conversation, guys. But first, I want to tell you, if you're thinking about getting a new car, I'm sending you to the only car dealership I personally endorse. Yeah, I'm talking about North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. At North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, we're talking an extensive new and pre-owned Subaru inventory, plus used cars, trucks, SUVs of every make and model. You are sure to find your next vehicle at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. Plus, all new Subarus and most pre-owned vehicles come with a lifetime warranty, so you know that you're covered. Hey, maybe you just want to get your current vehicle serviced. Luckily for you, did you know that at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, they service all makes and models? That's right. So either way, you're going to be treated like royalty when you go to North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. And with prices less than many of those small shops, you can service with confidence at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. You're getting an exceptional experience every time you walk in the showroom doors at that brand new state-of-the-art facility on North Andrews Avenue. You know which one I'm talking about. It's that beautiful building. You could see it from I-95 at the Cypress Creek Road exit. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the only car dealership I endorse here on Zaslow Show 2.0, and that's because I want to make sure you guys get the best deal around. Go to nflsubaru.com. That's nflsubaru.com. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the location you know with an experience you'll love. Ramsey, were you ever concerned in the series against the Rangers? You know, they're down 2-1. It's back-to-back overtime wins. And I was literally saying to myself, I think we're fine. We're down 2-1. I think I'd rather be down 2-1 and dominating the series, dictating the play. We're playing on our terms than ahead 2-1 and, you know, winning the way the Rangers did. I would even make the case, Randy, the Rangers' best games were the last three games of this series, which the Panthers won, as opposed to the first three, where the Panthers really dominated.
Yeah, isn't that something? I agree, Zaz. And I think Paul Maurice said after game four, it could have been a sweep for the Rangers. It could have been a sweep for the Panthers. I mean, that's how close those games are. And that's what makes it so exciting, because it can be just one play, one mistake on the ice, one misplayed puck, and it could cost you not only a game, but it could cost you the series as well. But you're right. I was of the same mindset after game number three, and the Panthers are trailing 2-1. And I'm like, no. We're not getting outplayed here. We're okay. If we continue to play our game, which we all know Panthers, it's a physical style, it's a forechecking, it's causing turnovers and that. And I expect the same thing in this series. That's the Panthers gonna have to play to their strengths, as, and that's the Panther style that we've seen for the last 2 years.
Randy, can you describe what the building has been like, especially, you know, clinching it? I was there to clinch against Tampa game five in the first round, but it didn't look like it. I'm watching, you know, these games at home now. It didn't really look like it compared to building in game six against the Rangers. Can you describe what it's been like?
Oh, it's been just electric, and the energy in the building. But it was a little different though, Zaz. And I know that there's some fans that, but it's a reality. There's a lot of people that live down here or have relatives down here from the Northeast and the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area that are longtime Ranger fans. We understand they got a history and that. There was a lot of Ranger fans in the building, and a lot of those, I saw a number of people that I'm looking at them going, wait a second, in the regular season, you were wearing a Barkov jersey. Now you're wearing a Trocheck
wow,
or a Zibanejad jersey now. And, you know, I cheer for both and that. And it makes it for good fun. The difference in this series, though, yes, there's going to be a handful or more of Edmonton Oilers fans that are going to travel down the long ways to come down to game one and game two. But it is going to be 99% Panther fans.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to add more to the atmosphere. It has been so loud in that building. And you know the Panthers have done a phenomenal job of their fan experience and getting into the parking lots and getting into the building and making sure that fan experience is as positive as it can be. And the Panthers, I'm so happy for these Panther fans. Zaz, you remember, you've been coming to games and that. Oh, boy, you know, seeing the looks on their faces and season ticket holder rallies and the things that we, you know, we had to do back in those days. And now to see the expressions on these fans, longtime season ticket holder faces, they're just in dreamland right now. This is, and to go the second year in a row to go this far and have a chance of climbing that, that ultimate mountain or whatever, and bring a Stanley Cup to South Florida again, besides Tampa Bay, to bring it to the state of Florida. They are just elated. And I just love just relishing in that. I'm so happy for them. It's almost like you're happy for your son, Zaz, you know, at a birthday or getting an award at school or whatever. You're just beaming. You're grinning ear to ear and that. That's the same way I feel. I know most of these fans down here, the longtime season ticket holders, and I'm just happy for them.
So at the end of the game six and the team is getting together and they're bringing out the Prince of Wales trophy, I was paying close attention because I remember last year and I know, and hockey is a you know, wacky, superstitious sport. And Sasha Barkov picks up the Prince of Wales trophy. And I was like, that's interesting. I know you're not really supposed to do that. And so I was looking closely this year. Is he going to touch it again? And how great is the clip of Paul Maurice pulling Barkov over as he's about to skate off the bench and he's pointing at him and Barkov is shaking his head no in agreement. And we see that he was telling him, don't pick up the trophy. What did you make of all that? I loved it.
Well, I there's a couple things I want to say about that. Number one is the Edmonton Oilers have won 5 Stanley Cups. Now, the last one that they won was in 1990.
Yeah.
Each time that they won the Western Conference or whatever, they touched that trophy and won it and won the Stanley Cup. Okay. But since then, there's been some kind of a mystique about it. Don't touch it and that. And teams that do touch it, they don't end up winning the Stanley Cup. Last year was a much different situation because what they went through in the regular season and barely making the playoffs and then coming from back from behind 3-1 against a arguably a much more powerful Boston Bruins team and then going all the way through and the way that they won it, it was a different thing. It was a different thing. And I didn't question that Barkov touched that trophy last year, but I totally understand that he didn't touch it this year. So that might be a good fortune. I'm not the most suspicious guy or superstition guy, Zaz. I have my routines. I'm sure you do too. I did it as a player. I didn't call him superstitions. I just call them routines and that. But it's going to be interesting, and it makes it for good fodder and people in the media and the fans talking about it. But
Gretzky talked about
pleased.
It after the game.
It didn't work last year, so let's not touch it this year.
Did you see Gretzky talking about it afterward on the NHL on TNT show? Like Gretzky was adamant that I picked it up every time. Like so somebody has to lose. It's a great trophy. Gretzky was like, they were pushing back on him and Gretzky was adamant that, yeah, it's a very honorable trophy. There's nothing wrong with picking it up.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that go on in the NHL routines and, things that go on. It's the same thing with at the end of the series handshake. I hated it when I played. I didn't want to shake their hands, but it was a tradition. It's a tradition, and you go through it and because you respect the game. I think this is the same thing as well. There's no disrespect to that trophy. It's a wonderful accomplishment, but I think it's a little team bonding that they don't touch it, and they're saying to the world, our job is unfinished. Right now it's unfinished and the one that we want to get our hands on. That same thing, Zaz, with the Stanley Cup. I've never touched the Stanley Cup. I've been around it, but until we, the Panthers, win the Stanley Cup, that's when I will touch the cup. And I've had many opportunities to touch it. I won't touch it. Won't touch it until I win it and being a part of the team.
What do you think the ratings are going to look like? Because it's going to be a monster in Canada, but the United States doesn't use the same rating system as Canada. Like, they have their own ratings. So we're not going to get the Canadian numbers. So I feel like, you know, people are going to say, oh, there's not a lot of interest in this final. When if you were to count what it's going to look like in Canada, I think it probably does a monster number.
Well, yeah. I mean, 3/4 of Canada will be TVs will be turned on to the games. I think there's going to be I believe there's going to be a lot of interest. Maybe not as much interest as if you had two established original six teams or whatever. But then again, remember, we have the best player in the world in Connor McDavid that is playing. And he is transcending all over the NHL and every TV market, especially in the NHL. There will be more than enough interest in this finals. I can guarantee you that.
Will all of Canada be rooting for Edmonton, or does like Calgary fans like, no, we don't like the Oilers? Will all of Canada root for Edmonton?
That's tough to say. It's tough to say. They're hockey fans up there, so They're going to be watching regardless whether they're a fan or not, but they have a strong following, and I keep repeating it all across Canada, because the Edmonton Oilers, just like when Gretzky won those Stanley Cups and Messier in Edmonton, because they had the two best players in the world, and that, so there is interest there. I don't know if there's going to be everybody in Canada is going to be having an Edmonton Oilers jersey on, but I just love the fact that for the first time in a while, you've got a Canadian team that's involved. The game is originally from there. There's been a long drought of a Canadian team having a chance to win the Stanley Cup. I think it goes back to Edmonton when they lost to Carolina. Montreal came close as well. It's nice to see. I'm originally from Canada. My roots are there. So I like the excitement that's generating in the country of Canada.
Sorry to break up the conversation here, guys, but I want to make sure that you got the best homeowners insurance out there. And that's why I direct you to Brunt Insurance. I've been getting my homeowners insurance from Brunt Insurance for about 10 years now. And I keep going back. I keep going back. I keep renewing because I know I have the most comprehensive coverage out there, and I'm getting it at the most affordable rate there is. You know, some of you guys, you're listening now on the west coast of Florida. God forbid you got some damage to your home because of the storm yesterday. Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204, or you go to bruntinsurance.com. And yes, anywhere in Florida, Brunt Insurance has you covered. They have locations all throughout the state. So you could be calling from Pensacola or all the way down to the Keys and beyond. Greg Brunt and his team at Brunt Insurance, his fully licensed staff, they have the expertise, they have the experience, they know what area you're calling from. So they're going to know exactly what type of coverage you need, what kind of policies you have to make sure you have. Hey, that also includes trailers and motorhomes. Let the team at Brunt Insurance help you learn more about your policy options so you're making an informed decision that's not going to keep you up at night. And you don't even have to own your home. Renter's insurance, condo insurance, all the options out there. It can make your head spin. Brunt Insurance specializes in making the confusing crystal clear. When you call 954-589-2204, you're making the right call. Bruntinsurance.com, the only insurance agency that I'm going to send you to.
It's all so exciting. It's a little bit surreal, but it's, oh my God. I feel like, Randy, I'm so excited. I watch all the games with my kids or we're so nervous the whole game. And it feels like it's the Panthers' time, Randy. Feels like it's their time.
Well, if they're able to, they've proven it by playing a very strong Tampa Bay team with Kucherov and Stamkos and Point and those superstars and Vasilevskiy, as you mentioned. They got by them. They got by Boston with all their star power and Pasternak and that. They were able to shut them down. They completely smothered Zibanejad and Panarin with the Rangers. Trocheck had a couple of goals. Kreider had a big goal as well. But for the most part, they really were able to smother them defensively. They're going to have to do the same thing against the Edmonton Oilers. They're highly dynamic. The Edmonton Oilers, they have a history of getting down early in the games, but they come roaring back. The positive and the thing, you look at all these stats and all these different analytics and that, the Panthers have proven in this playoffs that their best period is the third period. And I think their conditioning and their experience that they have will bode them well, especially in the third period. They don't get rattled. They don't get nervous. They just go out and play their game. And as the game progresses, seems like they play even more as a cohesive unit, especially on the defensive side. They're going to need that against the Oilers.
Randy, excellent job. I would tell you to plug. I don't think there needs to be any plugging of anything. The tickets are off the charts. Everyone, the building's going to be packed every single game beginning Saturday night. How are you going to watch the game? Where do you watch from on Saturday nights?
I'm in the building. I'll be up in the press box for a bit. I've got to do a hit on a couple of local TV sports shows in the pregame. Last game I did a couple of suite visits for the team, but I'm just a fan. It's unfortunate that Bally Sports Florida, we're not broadcasting. You don't broadcast after the first round, but I'm just a fan, and I sit up there. I try and not root as you're not supposed to be rooting when you're in the press box I just enjoy it. I'm just enjoying the ride, and these things don't happen very often. And the chance to win the hardest, most difficult trophy in all of sports is something that can be very, very gratifying and life-altering. And I'm so blessed and humbled to be a part of it. I just hope that we can get it done this year, because we don't know. You never know when you're going to be back.
Randy, excellent job. Always love having you on. And hopefully the next time we have you on here, maybe it could be in a couple of weeks and it's a celebration appearance. I don't know. We'll see. Randy, great job. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Zaz, always a pleasure. Love having me on your show. It's just, it's a pleasure of mine. You've been a supporter of this team for a long, long time. And we'll talk again, my friend.
Excellent job by Randy Moeller. Come on, do it, Panthers. I'm talking about. What do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4 more sleeps. 4 more sleeps. Game 1 right here in Sunrise, Panthers and Oilers. We'll keep the coverage going throughout the week. Like I said, our pal Billy Lindsay will join us at one point this week. Who knows what other guests and surprises may pop up. I don't know. I can't predict the future. Anyway, thanks to Randy. Great job out of him. Let's get to Twitter Jam. So this week's edition of Twitter Jam deals with Caitlin Clark and the reaction, the fallout, everything that has gone on since Saturday when Chenity Carter, where she, hip checked Caitlin Clark, which, let's be honest, it wasn't even that hard. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it's all encompassing. It's the cumulative conversation, right, surrounding Caitlin Clark and how she's being treated. Is there jealousy? Are all the women being catty? That kind of deal. Here's what I'll say at first. I think part of the problem here with the discourse with fans and with the media is I don't know that we know how to cover women's sports. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of times, and I could speak for myself too, as a male, I think women should be treated differently. I think women should be treated better than men. That's what I mean by that, I don't think that men and women are equals. I know women, they want equality. I don't think men and women are equal. I think they're better than us, all right? So I think we have, so when we watch the physicality, I think we're having a hard time absorbing that, this is normal, right? You see this in the NBA or whatever other sport, when women are getting knocked around, or even like with UFC, when the women would fight each other in UFC, that was not always a thing 10, 15 years ago, but now it is a thing. And think about how strange that must have been at first when we're watching the women fight. It's like, oh, I don't know about women fighting each other. I don't want to see women get beat up. That, I think we're dealing with a similar thing here
where, yeah, the women are just like the men in this regard. It's super high competition. It's super physical. And you know what? There's even going to be some dirty play. And I think we're struggling to adapt to that a little bit. Now, that we'll get used to that, and that'll eventually go away. But I think there's part of that. I also think there are certain things that, you know, especially males in the media and male fans, when it comes to covering the WNBA, that we're not good at either. Where, you know, I could tell you, for instance, for myself, I've called, and every once in a while I'll still slip up, and I call them girls. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I know not everybody appreciates that. I'm supposed to call them women, or I'm supposed to call them ladies. I certainly don't mean anything negative when I'm saying girls. That's just, I don't know, that's how I've always referenced, that's how I reference women sometimes. I'll call them girls, you know? But apparently, that's not okay. It's supposed to be ladies or women. So there are little things like that where I think we're having trouble, or at least we have to get used to in the way that we're going to cover women's sports and specifically the WNBA. So yesterday, though, there's been really strange discourse over the last few days. A lot of people, there's very polarizing opinions as far as what's happening with Caitlin Clark. Certainly, there shouldn't be much discrepancy as to what happened on Saturday with the foul on her. That's a dirty player, Kennedy Carter. And Angel Reese looked terrible in that spot. And the most terrible look was all of Caitlin Clark's teammates. That was an embarrassment. They should be embarrassed that they allow their teammate to be treated that way, and they don't do anything about it. Kennedy Carter looked terrible. She's a goon. Angel Reese looked terrible. She's super arrogant. And the worst look was for the Indiana Fever teammates of Caitlin Clark. Because now, I have no other conclusion to draw outside of, you know what? There's a lot of jealousy, and a lot of these other women don't like Caitlin Clark, and some of those women are on the Indiana Fever. That's the conclusion I have to draw based on no reaction to her being pushed around the way that she was pushed around on Saturday. That's the only conclusion, whether it's right or wrong. That's what I'm seeing. I'm using my eyes. That's the only conclusion I could draw. So the worst look was from the Indiana Fever teammates of Caitlin Clark. But yesterday, in the media, was a nutty day. So let's start things off here with this tweet. Here is from Awful Announcing. They tweet out, here's a quote from Stephen A. Smith. Who talks about the WNBA? Who talks about women? Who talks about women's sports more than First Take? And then Monica McNutt has her response, and they attached this wild clip.
Who talks about the WNBA? Who talks about women? Who talk about women's sports more than First Take?
Stephen A., respectfully, with your platform, you could have been doing this 3 years ago if you wanted to.
Wow.
All right, we got to go. You guys.
So did you say that?
You know you're my guy, but
who does more than
Stephen
us?
A., I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Wow. Don't do that. I'm talking to you about the power that you have.
Okay.
I'm talking to you.
Okay. It's
all right, let's, I got you're
it.
My guy, but I'm talking
it.
To you.
Guys, you, I really appreciate
you're my girl, but you've missed a lot of episodes of First Take. You missed a lot.
Stephen A., 3 years ago, you would not talk about the W at this level. Don't do that.
Guys.
Nobody was, Monica. You making Stephen A.'s point, Monica.
Please let me do my job. Please let me do my job. We've gone for 40 minutes straight. It was a riveting discussion. I have to get into commercial break.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith was aghast. He couldn't believe it. The first thing I did was, I said to myself, wow, Monica McNutt's last appearance on First Take. But here's the thing. I think Monica McNutt is wrong. Well, no, she's not wrong. But I think Monica McNutt in this spot, because she's not wrong. Stephen A. Smith was not talking about WNBA before this year. So 100% right about that. I think it's almost a lack of understanding the way things work. These shows on television, and I certainly know from all my years on radio, we talk about the things people want to hear about. I've been a huge Florida Panther fan my entire life. You don't think for most of my time at 790 A Ticket on the radio, I wanted to talk about the Florida Panthers? No one wants to hear it. No one cared. Well, 3 years ago, Monica McNutt, No one wants to hear about the WNBA. No one cares. That's not Stephen A. Smith's fault, and it is not Stephen A. Smith's responsibility to make people care about the WNBA. Not even close. So what Monica McNutt is saying is right, but it feels like a lack of understanding as to why that was the case. So all throughout the day yesterday, Stephen A. Smith's getting hammered because Monica McNutt destroyed him on First Take. And you could tell Stephen A. Smith was upset. So this tweet here now is from Robert Littal, BSO. He does Block Sports Online. And he tweets out here, Stephen A. basically just said he made these ladies famous. And here's the clip he attached. This is from Stephen A. Smith's podcast yesterday.
You ever heard of Monica McNutt? You have now. Because she's on First Take a lot. Shanae Ogumike, absolutely wonderful, spectacular basketball analyst, et cetera, WNBA player in her own right. Ask her how it's been to be on First Take. How about Andrea Carter, who's a rising star in this business? How much do you think First Take helped that? What about Kimberly Martin? What about Molly Kerim herself?
All right. I mean, that is a what? I don't know. I feel like there's not any self-awareness going on, although Stephen A. Smith doesn't need self-awareness. He's Stephen A. Smith. He's the biggest name in sports media, probably the biggest name ever in sports media. But man, like, the response, he's telling you he made those girls' careers. That's what he's telling you. That's a weird thing to say. All right. This next tweet is from Jake Asman. We like Jake Asman. He's a weekend host on ESPN Radio. I've worked with him before. And attached to the clip of Chenity Carter with the flagrant foul on Caitlin Clark, he says, the cheap shots on Caitlin Clark are an embarrassment for the WNBA. This player should be suspended. Clark is the only reason I'm even watching a WNBA game right now. What a joke. All right. Well, I think it's a little bit strong. I do not believe that she should have been suspended. It really wasn't that big of a deal. How a flagrant foul was not called on the spot, I don't know. This next tweet is from Robert Griffin III, former NFL player, ESPN analyst. He's also responding to that same clip. Okay, this is hating on Caitlin Clark. Face guarding, extremely aggressive play, and the occasional hard foul can be described as competitiveness. Going out of your way to call her out of her name and body check her to the floor without the ball is hating. All right. This next tweet here. Hang on a second. This is from... how about this? So, this is from KFC Barstool. Oh, no. Excuse me. Let's start with this first. GN Sports TV. That's Game Night. Game Night Sports TV. All right. Let's see what they got. They write, Angel Reese believes the physical play that Caitlin Clark has experienced isn't new to the WNBA. And then they attach this clip, which... My goodness, Angel Reese, you're getting bad advice.
It all started from the national championship game, and I've been dealing with this for 2 years now. And understanding, like, yeah, negative things have probably been said about me, but honestly, I'll take that because look where women's basketball is. People are talking about women's basketball that you never would think that we'd be talking about women's basketball. People are pulling up to games. We got celebrities coming to games, sold out arenas, like, just because of one single game. And just looking at that, like, I'll take that role. I'll take the bad guy role, and I'll continue to take that on and be that for my teammates. And if I want to be that, and I know I'll go down in history, I'll look back in 20 years and be like, yeah, the reason why we watching women's basketball is not just because of one person. It's because of me, too, and I want y'all to realize that.
Like I said, Angel Reese, you're getting bad advice. You can't come out as – the reason why we're watching women's basketball is not because of one person. It's because of me, too. I want y'all to realize that. My goodness. You know, you don't hear Caitlin Clark talk about she's the reason that people are watching when she is, in fact, the reason people are watching. The numbers bear that. The attendance bears that. You don't hear Caitlin Clark talking that way. It's constantly Angel Reese, who is clearly very jealous. This tweet is from something called beatingthebookie.com. All right. They're like a gambling site, I guess. And they reacted to that Angel Reese clip. Caitlin Clark should get commission for all the real estate she owns in Angel Reese's head. Then this next one is from KFC Barstool. And he responds to the same clip of Angel Reese. This girl is obsessed with trying to convince people Caitlin Clark isn't the girl behind this women's basketball revolution. And it ain't never gonna happen. All right. This next tweet is from Danielle McCartan, she's apparently a host on WFAN, all right, and she says, quote, "What is it with the petty, jealous, mean girl bully culture surrounding Caitlin Clark in the WNBA? I don't see any teams moving their games to larger arenas to accommodate Angel Reese's Chicago Sky." All right. Yeah, she's right. This next tweet is from, let's see, Awful Announcing. All right. And they have a clip here from Around the Horn yesterday. Like I said, the discourse was wacky yesterday. And it says, Frank Isola and Tim Kalishaw weigh in, making the case that WNBA athletes and the league should do more to lift Clark up rather than making her the villain. And here's my guy, Frank Isola.
And a couple of things for Teresa Weatherspoon to say the heat of the moment. Was heat of the moment then going on Twitter and still crushing Caitlin Clark? And this goes back to, and this is the point about what you're talking about Candace Parker. We're constantly getting lectured by players and coaches in this league. No, nobody hates Caitlin Clark. There's nothing wrong with her. Oh, really? So we cannot believe what we see with our eyes. We have to believe what you're telling us. And what Courtney talked about, the reaction by everyone. Angel Reese's reaction, Aaliyah Boston's reaction, the referee's reaction. And then how does the league not try to step up to the plate and say, you know what? Physical play is fine. You want to compete, go right ahead and compete. No, you're not going to have dirty plays. They should have suspended Kennedy Carter for one game, which would have sent a good example to the rest of the league. That's what they should have done.
Now, believe it or not, things get even wackier from here. So yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, Pat McAfee, and he's an Indianapolis guy, so certainly he's all over Caitlin Clark, loves supporting Indiana Fever. And here's Pat McAfee talking about the whole situation. This tweet is from Complex Sports. They tweet, "This is crazy. Pat McAfee was unhinged discussing Caitlin Clark and the WNBA on air." And here's the clip they attached.
Like the media people that continue to say, "This rookie class, this rookie class, this rookie class." Nah, just call it for what it is. There's one white bitch for the Indiana team who is a superstar.
Pat, what are you doing? Pat, what are you doing? You can't go on television and call, I mean, anyone, any female a bitch. This white bitch over here. Pat, what are you doing? Like, that is, I don't even know what that is. And he apologized, but man, it makes you wonder. There's going to be a time where I love Pat McAfee, but it makes you wonder. There's going to be a time where he's going to say something really stupid. He was way too comfortable just calling Caitlin Clark a bitch on national television. That's weird. Of all the wacky discourse, the strange coverage that I have seen over the last few days in regards to Caitlin Clark, this one now takes the cake. This tweet is from Chicago Tribune. I mean, shit, they have over 1 million followers on Twitter. It's the Chicago Tribune. And they tweet out, from the editorial board, "The foul committed by Chicago Sky guard Kennedy Carter on Caitlin Clark was egregious. Outside of a sporting event, it would have been seen as assault." Are you fucking kidding me? That's a serious, reputable newspaper? Is that serious? Outside of a sporting contest, it would have been seen as an assault? I mean, is the next headline that we're going to read from the Chicago Tribune, the next Chicago Blackhawks game, outside of sports, that forecheck on Connor Bedard would be considered assault? When football season starts and Caleb Williams gets tackled, when he gets sacked, hard sack, big hit, are we going to get the headline, outside of a sporting contest, that sack on Caleb Williams would be considered assault? What the fuck are we? What the hell is that? That is by far the most embarrassing thing I have seen in regards to the coverage of Caitlin Clark the last few days. And that right there is another edition of Twitter Champ. Let's get to Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Big Deal or Not a Big Deal, always brought to us where we get all of the big deals here in South Florida. Caneswear in Davie. We all know Caneswear. It's in the name. They have the largest selection of Miami Hurricanes gear anywhere. But Caneswear also has all of your apparel for your Dolphins, Panthers, Heat, Inter Miami. Items for men, women, kids, even your pets. You want to put a Tyreek Hill jersey on your dog? Hey, that's up to you. Stop by Caneswear in Davie. 2655 South University Drive, or shop right now. They'll deliver it right to your doorstep, caneswear.com. No matter which South Florida sports team you're rooting for, you want to pick up your Panther gear, your brand new Eastern Conference champion gear, your brand new Stanley Cup final gear on your way to game one Saturday night, stop into Caneswear in Davie, just south of 595 on the west side of University Drive. Caneswear, it's more than a store, it's an experience. Caneswear is the spot South Florida sports fans shop for all of the big deals. Big deal or not a big deal. So just telling you there, Pat McAfee, I mean, ridiculous, on Raw last night, he's a color commentator on Monday Night Raw. He made sure that he weaved in the incident from earlier in the day onto the Raw broadcast.
Monster of all monsters, Roman, that's one big white son of a bitch!
Ah, sneaky guy, McAfee, Braun Strowman, that big white son of a bitch. I'll go, not a big deal. And that's the forum for it. Big deal or not a big deal. So here's Kendrick Perkins yesterday. I think this is on the NBA Today. And the atmosphere for Kyrie Irving in Boston, it's going to be something. And here's Kendrick Perkins. He wants everybody to tone it down a little bit.
But I will offer some advice to the fan base of the Celtics. And that's to leave him the hell alone, okay? Leave him alone, because you're not the ones that have to go between those lines and actually guard this man. Right now, Kyrie Irving has been in the zone.
All right, this is not a big deal. Kendrick, stop telling fans how to behave, all right? I don't like the Boston fans. I think they're awful people. Stop telling them how to behave. They're going to boo Kyrie Irving. They're allowed to boo Kyrie Irving. They should boo Kyrie Irving, all right? And the idea that, oh, it's going to make Kyrie Irving play harder, it's the NBA Finals, Perk. You don't need any extra incentive to play hard. So this is not a big deal. And finally, big deal or not a big deal, this was on Sunday night after the Oilers won the Western Conference Championship. He's talking post-game with the studio crew, NHL on TNT, including all-time great Edmonton Oiler, greatest hockey player of all time, Wayne Gretzky. And here, Gretzky and Connor McDavid share in a moment.
Winger, I just want to say congratulations. I know how tough it is and how much you've gone through. So I'm wishing all the best of luck in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Thanks, Gretz. That means a lot.
All right, man.
I'm going big deal. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but man, like, that's Wayne Gretzky telling you, you know, go win the cup. Edmonton, you know, supports you. That's a big deal. I thought that was pretty cool. And that right there is another edition of Big Deal. Not a big deal. Brought to us by Caneswear. Caneswear is the spot all Miami fans shop for all of the big deals on our local South Florida sports teams. Caneswear.com. Yes. All right. What we got going on tonight? Not a whole lot. Maybe reconnect with the family before we get ready for the Stanley Cup, for the NBA Finals. Reconnect with the family a little bit tonight. Maybe that's what we got going on. Today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. Appreciate everybody behind the scenes who, as always, you do such a good job. I hope you know you're appreciated. You put together such a great show. Your hard work and help put together Zaslow Show 2.0 every day. It's very inspiring. Thanks all you guys, of course, for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow on another edition of Zaslow Show 2.0. You know what that means. Ah, the show is over. What better time now than to go out back with a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. That's right. That's what I look forward to after every show. And now my day's work is done. I got a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. We're talking European roots with a Caribbean soul. I'm going to sit outside by the pool here at the Zaslow Mansion and just enjoy the rest of my day. Having a Johnny Cuba makes me feel like I'm right back in the Caribbean. We're talking a refreshing German lager in a can. You can get it anywhere. Sedano's, Presidente, Winn-Dixie. And right now, you got special holiday prices on six packs of Johnny Cuba. Make sure you pick up your Johnny Cuba merch as well. We got the hot sauce coming up. Johnny Cuba, stay tranquilo, because more is always brewing.